free. Does that sound familiar? But it's a such an important matter to preach on. Because you see, we got in bondage one time. Mankind did. Back in the garden. And we've been in bondage ever since in a fallen nature because of sin. And that result, that the reason of that was we did not believe God's words. Mankind did not. We can blame Adam and Eve, but we do the same thing. When you not believe God's words and you believe the words of the enemy, which is what happened in the garden, you come under bondage. You come under sin, the effects of sin, and it brings death. So this subject is so important. The truth will make you free, and I think I've started with this verse every time on part one and part two. I'm not going to change John 8, 31 and 32. I don't have that on the notes back there for you, Daniel. I just gave you the third part of this. But I look at this verse a lot in my own life. And how many of you have times when you just get tangled up? And I remind myself of what makes me free. What makes me free. It's sort of like when you're going down the highway, and I love my little GPS thing. It kind of tells me where to go and all that kind of thing. But you know, it's like going down the highway, and a road looks like, oh, this looks like the right way. Have you ever done this? This looks like, oh, this is the way you're surely going to go. And then you end up in no man's land. The land of Nod. You know, there's actually a land of Nod in the Bible. I got it on my little list someday. I want to see where that is. Maybe I might not want to go there once I've gone there. But you get all off track. Now, you have highway signs. You have your little, you know, how many of you use GPS? It's that little thing. You just follow the line. You follow the whatever color you put on there, and it tells you if you miss your road, it recorrects you and takes you back. God's word's like that. And so when you get sidetracked or you slip and fall or something happens in your life, always, always go back to this. In fact, if we stay in this, we don't really get off track, do we? But we're human, and often there is a way that seems good unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction, and it seems good at the time. That road seemed good. Looked like that was a shorter, my GPS can't be right. I'm going to take this shorter distance, and then you hit a dead end. I'll never forget, here comes a story, but I'm going to get into the word. Someday I'm going to do a message on prophetic utterances that keep us from danger. But I was in Pensacola, right next to it, Panama City, years ago, visiting a buddy of mine that was in Tyndall Air Force Base down there. And Larry was always kind of a reserved fella. And he lives in Lafayette now, but if I ever preach a sermon, I'm going to have him come down here. He was a friend of mine way back in the days of the Wesleyan Church. And Larry was raised in the Nazarene Church, actually, and I think he was more of an older time Nazarene Church when they had a little more fire. But we were friends, and he wanted me to come down and see because he had joined the Air Force, wanted me to see the base and all that before 9/11. You could go all over the place. So I did. I went down there. One of my other ocean stories, Kenny, is I stepped in the sand. I thought Jaws was cutting my leg off, and I stepped on a horseshoe crab, and it cut my foot. Thought I was dying. I wasn't. But it was in the fall of the year, and we're watching the World Series. Now, I love another thing you may not know about me is I love baseball. I can't play it. I love watching it. I love going to a baseball game. If we ever get this men's group started, one of the first events I'd like to do is go watch the Indians play. I just like baseball. And so we were watching the World Series on television in his living room down there in Panama City. And then all of a sudden, I'm trying to figure out why I'm even going on this story. But yeah, I know where it is. It'll lead us back to what I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, I'm looking and I can't help but get distracted because I'm watching this World Series and he's watching it across the room. And Larry starts doing this weird thing with his hand and his face. I'm going to try to mimic it. And I don't care. You can laugh. I mean, you're laughing with me, not at me, right? But anyway, he starts doing one of these numbers in the middle of the World Series. About like that. And I thought, And I knew Larry a long time, and I said, Larry, what is going on over there? And he didn't answer me right away. He kept doing this. And I thought, this is weird. This is a weird thing I've never seen come out of Larry. And then finally, he kind of shakes himself out of it, and he goes, oh, my gosh, I just saw your, I had a little Ford Maverick at the time. I don't know, maybe you were too young to remember my little Ford Maverick, Andy, but I had a little Ford Maverick that I drove into the ground like I do every vehicle I own. But he saw the Maverick floating, and I guess this is supposed to fit in with the ocean because we talked about this. He saw my Maverick floating in the water, and waves were coming over it. Now, I never knew Larry to be a prophet, but I took him serious. That wasn't Larry to say something like that. He says, I see your car in the water and waves of the ocean are going over it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you don't want that to happen. Why is he getting this? So we didn't know what else to do. And of course, the World Series is still going on. We prayed. I said, Lord, whatever this is, if I'm in any kind of danger, this is not good. My car in the water with waves going over it doesn't sound good. Can you please prevent this from happening? If I'm in any kind of danger, and anytime you get a dream, I talked about this the last time I preached, pray about it. So we prayed about it, and I was puzzled. The next day, we went to Pensacola and went to a Bible school there and came back. And in the evening, of course, it was the days before GPS. And it's so important to stay on course, like what I was telling you with the word. Well, I got lost, and it got dark. And I kept hitting dead ends over and over. And we were kind of coming through, trying to head back to Panama City. And every time I turn on a road, it would be a dead end over and over and over. We couldn't figure out why, and it was dark. So finally, I went for my slow drive, because you know I drive slow, that I started picking them up and putting them down. And I was putting the pedal to the middle because I thought, we got to get back. And all of a sudden, I heard Larry yell at the top of his lungs, stop! And we had the windows down. It was a nice evening. And that old Maverick just slid. You know, you ever have to slam on your brakes and you hear the car? It slid all the way to the end. And what Larry saw, I didn't see it, or his vision would have come to pass. That this time there was no stop. There was no dead end sign. And my car was precariously hanging off of a drop-off. The wheel stayed on, or we would have had to get a tow truck. Right up to the edge, and all we could see in front of us was the ocean. And you could hear the waves. And it was dead silence, and the car were sitting there looking. That's what Larry saw. He saw the danger that happened the very next night. God spared us. You know, that's why it's important to pray. But if you get off the word and you don't pay attention to signs from the word and the word alone, not necessarily people unless they're talking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you're going to be just like that. Something like that can happen to you. And this is why Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, mark that, if you continue in my word, it doesn't mean you read it 20 years ago and you put it on the shelf and now there's an inch of dust on your Bible at home, right? If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. One of the signs of a saved believer is that they stay in God's word. They don't stray off of it. They see the importance of it. The Holy Spirit burns in them the importance of God's word. If you claim to be a Christian today and you have no interest in God's word, I would check the dipstick. I'd check the oil in your soul. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And I love this wording. I used to use the word set. I was in error. My Bible says, and yes, I'm kind of an older King James kind of a guy, the truth shall make, M-A-K-E, make you free. So when you get all tangled up, you get lost, you get off the the route, get back in the truth, but really you should stay on it so you don't stray off in the first place, right? It'll make you free. It just happens. You don't have to struggle at it. You don't have to work at it. Get in His Word, believe it, let it go into your heart, and that Word will make you free. Make is a strong word. It's a forceful word, right? So truth, we ask the question, what is truth? I think, was it Pilate that asked that question when Jesus was getting crucified? The Bible says what truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So if you want to be free, you want to be made free, stay in His Word, believe it, act on it. Don't just read it and let it go in one ear and out the other. So confessing this truth, and we talked about this in Sunday school, and my sister here sure confirmed this message this morning. It says in Romans 10:9-10, confession is very important. It's important to confess that word out of your mouth. I love the fact that we have people here that confess the word over their family. They put their family in there and they read it out loud, confess it. Because it says this in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you get that? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You guys know life and death are in the tongue, right? Confession's made to salvation, and you can also bring death by what you say. So say this with me. Confession is made unto salvation. Because I'm going to have you start confessing again. This is the third part of this message, and I think it's important for you to say these confessions out of your mouth. So notice how I just conveniently slipped this into the message, because I want everyone out there to be born again. I want them to be saved. Repeat this after me. I confess that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. And my only Savior. I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And what does the Word say? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice how I just slipped that in there? We're going to activate more truth today. And like I said, this isn't going to be a long message, because I mean, this all in all had 8 pages, and I'm down to the last 3. And I never thought that this, I thought I could get all this in one message, but I never have been able to. There's more important truths that you need to confess out of your mouth. You need to let them come out. You need to hear yourself saying them. And then you need to hear the Word that buoys that up, because after all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to build faith today. We're going to confess life out of our mouth and release it into the atmosphere, because there is a spiritual atmosphere out there. And it is like the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So you guys are going to be using your swords today. So by all means, make these confessions with me as we go over the Word. And let the atmosphere be penetrated by the light, and let the demons and the devil flee in terror. All right? So we're going to start in part 3. And we're going to go to Galatians 3:13. And I want you to confess this after me. And then I'm going to buoy it up by the Word of God. I'm going to put faith in you. And say this: I am redeemed from the curse of the law. All right, you're redeemed from the curse of the law, because the law, you know, God gave the law not because He wanted to curse us. He wanted to show us that we could not keep it and need a Savior. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So I'm telling you, one thing lacking when we go to preach the gospel to people is we don't We don't often let them see that they're lost. We don't show them that, hey, you need a Savior. So we avoid the Ten Commandments. We avoid what sin is. They got to see that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They're not going to want to call on the Savior to get rid of that sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Galatians 3:13. Thank God that he took the sins of us on himself. Everything he suffered on that cross was your and my sin. Here's the irony of it. Jesus never broke the law. Jesus was sinless and perfect, yet he became sin for us because we could not keep the law. So every time you place your faith in Jesus for anything, your life, your soul, your well-being, everything, you are now being made righteous by that faith because you're going through the one who fulfilled it. And he puts righteousness all over you. He clothes you in righteousness when you trust him. It's that simple. That's how you can be redeemed from the curse of the law, is to trust Jesus and his righteousness. Amen? You guys get that? It's very simple. Thank God. Say this: I am kept in safety wherever I go. Just as sure as I could have went plunging right into that ocean. And that vision that came, God knew what was going to happen, and he kept that from happening. Just as sure as the day I was left out of here and went back to Evansville, and it was dark, and I was tired and got out of south of Terre Haute, down 41, kind of heading down to where Mary used to live there in Vincennes, and it got so, you ever get in the car, and it's just so comfortable? Oh, you know, it's not good to get real comfortable while you're driving. Especially at night. That's not a good thing. Our flesh wants to be comfortable. And it was, the heater was on. Radio was playing. I was cruising up 41, my usual 45 mile an hour. I might have been going faster than that. And I got too comfortable. And the radio just faded out. And as sure, as loud of a voice as it was audible, I heard one word spoken to me as loud as could be, Kevin! Just like that. I bolted away because I was going off the road, getting ready to just, who knows, total the car, hit a culvert, die. That was either the angel of the Lord or he himself. But it was louder than any alarm clock I have ever heard in my life. And you can tell me all you want, that was not a coincidence. I went to sleep. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. How many of you can tell me of a time where you were in terrible danger and somehow, some way, gosh, I remember Patrick's testimony of going off 865 here. You should have been dead, brother. You should have been dead because you don't drive like me. You drive the other way. You pick him up and put him down. I know there's one time I'm going to go real fast, and that's when the rapture hits. How many of you can attest a testimony about how God spared your life in safety when you knew you should have died? Does anybody, look at all the hands. I don't want to take up all day, but would anybody like to share that? Who would like to share one of the, you have to get the mic to somebody. Andy, run the mic. I want to hear a couple illustrations. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Sherry, testify.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I was a really bad tailgater. And Yeah.
I'm one of the people you'd probably tailgate.
I was young and stupid, as we all were. But I was a tailgate people. And I got behind this truck that had a huge, the big electrical cables and those big spools on the back of his truck. And I was tailgating. And I heard Holy Spirit, I didn't know for sure if it was Holy Spirit, but it was real soft. And he said, back off. And then we do what we do. Is that what, did I hear something? You know, did I really hear that? And then louder, I heard a voice, back off. But three times, I didn't really obey it because I wasn't for sure, you know, we just were stupid. And I'm stupid, sorry, not we, me. And finally, just like Kevin, Holy Spirit or an angel yelled at me and said, back off. And I let off of my gas, and that spool came flying off the back of that truck full of cable. And I know I did not see them, but you know how a spool comes straight off, and it was coming right from my windshield. And it would have killed me, but it was coming from my windshield. And you know, you're watching it in slow motion. I didn't see the angels, but I know they were there because that spool flipped sideways. And it tore up a yard and went through a fence and almost hit somebody's front door. But I knew God. God did it.
You knew that was no question in your mind.
No question. He said, back off. And you know what? We should listen the first time.
Amen. Now I got two mics. I can really. There you go.
You can get feedback.
All right. And one more. Anybody else have a testimony of God's protecting power? Because I love real life stories and testimonies, activating the word, right?
When I was a child, my brother was driving a car, and we were going up to Indianapolis from Waldron to surprise our parents with Christmas gifts. It was in the middle of winter. And as we were leaving the driveway and we were about to turn out the driveway, and I had a question in my heart, I guess. Don't you think you should put your seatbelt on? Because, you mean, I'm old enough that you didn't have to have a seatbelt on in the back seat, you know? It wasn't audible. It was just like a question. Don't you think you should put your seatbelt on today? And I looked around. I'm like, well, the road's not really bad. I mean, it's just going to be bad here. It's not going to be bad on the highway. But, you know, I'll put my seatbelt on anyway. I left my seatbelt on wherever we went that whole day. On the way back, my brother came up behind a newspaper person. They were putting their newspaper in somebody's thing, and he wanted to go around them. He hit the gas. He hit a patch of ice right there. The road had been cleared all day, but right there he hit the patch of gas. We spun our car around. I had a bruise, because it was just a lap belt. I had a big black bruise where that belt kept me from banging around in the back seat of that car, and it was a Mustang GT, T-top. It was it totaled, but we were safe. Everybody survived, and
amen.
It was just that spirit in me when I was a kid. Just said, don't you think you should put your seatbelt on today?
That was the Lord.
And I said, okay.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap up. Repeat this after me. I am healed by his stripes.
I am healed by his stripes.
You know, when Jesus took that beating, and I think the best movie I ever saw depicting that, although it was very gory, was The Passion of the Christ. And I don't even think we have a clue what that was like. But when he took those stripes, which the prophet Isaiah saw, he said, by those stripes we are healed. We were healed. We are healed. Past tense, present tense. He provided the way of healing. Every time you take this communion, and we are really overdue for a corporate communion day. We're going to have to do that. But understand, when you take that, what represents his body, the bread, you need to always think about those stripes going on his back. And especially, it's always good during a time of communion, if you got any kind of sickness or disease or anything going on, body, mind, soul, spirit, that you think about those stripes and thank him for that. And of course, when you partake of the juice which represents his blood, think about his blood being shed, because without the remission of blood, there is no... Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So thank him for that. Be mindful of his body. That's what Paul was warning people about in the Bible, to keep your mind focused on his body. doesn't mean you're perfect when you take communion. Somebody has a mis— people, we have misnomers about that. The reason people were sick and died is they were not discerning the Lord's body. So just remember that. But by those stripes we are healed. And I believe that healing is not just physical. And I liked what Marvin was saying on Wednesday. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That healing is a total healing. I believe it's always, and this is maybe a shocking statement, but I'm going to explain it, always God's will to heal. You know how I know that? Because there's healing and there's no sickness in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kind of says what his will is. Now, whether or not we're always healed is a different story. Sometimes he waits for a specific time to heal us. We want it now. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask Lazarus about that one. So there is a timing with God too. And I don't want to go off on a whole sermon on healing. Maybe I should someday. There are things that block our healing. But it's ultimately his will. Even the most sick person who ends up dying and they know the Lord ends up healed. So it's in the well. It's going to happen. Sooner or later. I always prefer it to be sooner, right? But by his stripes we were healed. It's because he took that upon himself. He took all our sins and diseases and sicknesses. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where somebody came to Jesus with true faith and said, "Would you heal me?" Where he said, "Nah, I'm not. I don't want to heal you. I've never. You find that? Please show me that, and I'll change my preaching." But I've never found that in the Word. Repeat this statement: I am above only, and not beneath. And now do you even know what you confessed? What does that mean? I'm going to explain it. Out of Deuteronomy 28:13. And by the way, in a couple more confessions, we're going to learn that we are heirs to the blessings of Abraham. This was from the old covenant, the old original testament. We're under the New Testament, but it's even better, which includes the old. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you this day to observe and do them. And we understand the best way to keep God's commandments is to trust Jesus. Give her all to him. Yield to him. And what does he mean by that? God will ultimately exalt you. In fact, it's kind of a paradox in this world, because he says the way you're going to be exalted is to humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. If you feel down, humble yourself, and he'll raise you up. In the end, you win. He will make you the head and not the tail. You're not going to be a slave of Satan. You're not going to lose out. Repeat this. I am blessed coming in, and blessed going out. And I understand I sound like a prosperity preacher, don't I? However, I'm not going to ignore the Word when it talks about the subject. I'm going to be balanced and talk about a lot of other things. But by golly, I'm not ignoring this because of what some evangelists have done with it. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, Deuteronomy 28:6. So those blessings are available wherever you go. Does he not promise he'll be with you? Does he not promise he'll guide and direct you? Why would you not be blessed when you come in and go out? Think about that. And finally, say this. I'm not at the end. I'm getting close. I am an heir to the blessings of Abraham. Thank God for the Jewish people, because God first worked with them, right? Jesus was born in a Jewish body. The gospel was first preached from Jewish people. Don't come to me and carry on about how they rejected Christ. God knew that was going to happen. But my Bible says they're coming back in the end. So it's important to pay attention to the blessings of Abraham, because now we've been grafted in to that tree. We've been grafted in. Thank God that tree's there. Christ, and look at this. This is New Testament, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for it. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? This is not, I'm not trying to put us under the old covenant. We get all that and more in the new covenant. It's even better. You need to look up what those blessings were in the Old Testament. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How many of you here are Gentile? Are there any Jewish people here? Anybody that's got Jewish lineage? A little. Okay. Well, I looked up my ancestry. I don't have any. I'm as Gentile as it can be. You know? Swedish and British. They used to call me a Viking hillbilly down there in Evansville. Because my relatives come out of Kentucky and Tennessee on my dad's side. All right. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So in Christ, in Jesus again, and I got to keep pointing to him. That's where all this comes from. Read about what's in the blessings of Abraham. It's huge. It's good. And it's this life and the life to come. We're partakers. My Bible says that. And thank God that we have Jesus, because we wouldn't have been able to get it any other way. Repeat this after me. I am getting all my needs met by Jesus. I'm getting all my needs met by Jesus. Are you understanding this? You don't go into the old law and just try to put yourself under the old covenant and try real hard to do all this kind of stuff. You trust Jesus and let him put his Holy Ghost in you, fill you, and write his laws on your heart so it becomes your nature. So you don't have to struggle. It's just part of you. You know, when you get saved, you know, you find this good nature and bad nature. Good nature is from the Holy Spirit. Let him write his law on your heart. And you don't go about striving, trying to keep it. It's just part of your nature. That's the filling, the baptism, immersion of the Holy Ghost. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Stand up. This is one of these sermons where I've got you standing up, sitting down, talking. We were doing this. We wanted to sing it in Sunday school. I want to sing it now. Come on, you guys. Jehovah Jireh. My provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Amen? Amen? Amen. You can be seated. We almost sang that in Sunday school, so I decided why not. We'll let her rip. Got a few more to go here. Say this, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings.
I am blessed with all spiritual blessings.
Now that's a mouthful, because that's a lot. That's eternal. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Can you? I don't even know if you can imagine what all that is. Now, the Bible does say, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But people stop there. He goes on to say, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So it isn't just a total mystery. You can go into the Lord and you can go deep and he can start imparting things to you by the Holy Spirit. Paul did that. He got so far that he had to have a thorn in the flesh. I wouldn't suggest that you get in danger of pride from many revelations. But I can tell you, you can go deeper into God and start getting a vision, a glimpse. of what those are. In the spirit. And they're eternal. They're eternal. I was testifying to somebody the other day that was talking about, well, I don't know, you know, about the other side in heaven and all that. And I was telling them about Bonnie Skank, who passed away in her 90s. And her big, and I've shared this before, but I love sharing it for anybody who didn't hear it out there. You know, her biggest concern was that she was not going to be able to see her, recognize her husband in heaven. Are we going to really know who people are there, she'd always say. And I'd open up the Bible and I would bring her to Corinthians. We'll know even as we're known and all that. And she'd be satisfied. And the next time I visited Bonnie, she was right back where she was. Am I going to be able to see my son Danny when I get there? Am I going to be able to see? So this would go on, and I was always grieved because I wanted Bonnie to be comforted before she left this earth. Well, the day she died, she was in a coma for a while. She came out of the coma, and she died at home on a hospital bed. And the first, this is how good Jesus is, and I've shared this 100 times. I don't care. I'll share it 500 because I love the story. The first thing God did for her, because she was so concerned about that, is she began to get a glimpse of Isaac. She began to get a glimpse of Danny. She began to get a glimpse of her sister, people she loved. That was the first thing he did. She started saying, oh, there they are. Hurry, hurry, hurry. She wanted to get there so fast. She went into glory. She died. She started seeing him. It was like coming in. I can only describe it coming off the road with a long driveway, and you see all the people you've missed so long on the front porch. Oh, there they are. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, and that was the first thing Jesus did for her, is let her see in the spirit those that she wanted to be so comforted and know that they were there. Repeat after me. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You believe it? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. How many of you know there is a suffering with Christ? And it's not a suffering for your own sins. It's not a suffering of your wrongdoing. It is a suffering for other people. Now, I want to get this long suffering. Some people, they've abused their body all their life, and then they get really sick, and I'm suffering for God. That's not what that means. That's reaping what you sow there. That's something different. But he said we are to take up our cross. And a cross means death, and a cross means suffering for other people. And there are times you get burdened for other people, and you may set up late hours praying for somebody or holding their hand or being with them, or going through persecution for the Lord's sake and taking it patiently so they see Jesus in you and later on they come to Christ. That's what that's about. Anytime we suffer now under the new covenant is for the sake of someone else, or the suffering is pointless. He died on the cross for our sins. We shouldn't be suffering for our sins. But there's a lost and dying world out here that sometimes we have to suffer for. We have to bear long with people. We have to take the name calling. We have to be persecuted. And sometimes, gosh, I was talking about dreams 2 weeks ago, and then I promptly had this dream. I was preaching the gospel, and this big burly guy got up in front of me, bigger than Patrick. I mean, he was big, Patrick. And he told me to shut up, or he was in and he had his fist drawn back. And, you know, I'm a little guy, getting old and feeble. But in the dream, I felt this surge of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I will not. I'm going to preach. And I turned to him and I said, do you know Jesus? I'm concerned about your soul. And do you know, he melted down in my dream. And then I woke up. Now, I don't know what all that means. I need to pray about it like I tell people. But we suffer for other people. You know, John Wesley, when he was preaching, oh my gosh, he got attacked over and over. Because you got to understand, his church in the beginning was the fields. He got kicked out of the Church of England after he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He was too strong for him. They gave him the right foot of fellowship right out the door. He said, the fields are my parish. And people threw rocks at him. They did all that. There was one scene in his journal where some guy was drew back and threw a rock. At the same time, some guy was up there ready to punch him right in the face. And the guy that threw the rock missed John Wesley and hit the guy that was punching him in the face. what I'm trying to say is we will suffer. It's not a strange thing. Don't think you're doing something wrong when you're trying to do God's work and now you're getting buffeted. Sometimes it's a good sign. Paul gets in a shipwreck and he's going out to preach the gospel. He floats with a board. Then he gets to shore and a snake comes out that should have killed him and bites him in the fire and he shakes it off and doesn't die. He was attacked over and over again because Satan did not want him bringing the gospel to Greece. All right, two more. Say this, I am a partaker of his divine nature. And that rhymes. I'm a partaker of his divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you take on his divine nature, guess what, people? Your life changes. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. I get so disturbed when people run around claiming to be Christians and I can't tell them from the world. I can't tell them any difference between how they're living than people that don't even know Christ or profess him. That's troubling to me. You're to be a partaker of his divine nature. And when you're a partaker of his divine nature, people notice it. So if you struggle with that, get on your knees today and say, Lord, impart that divine nature. Saturate me with your Holy Spirit. Because after all, the Holy Spirit's really Jesus in spirit form. He dwells in our hearts by faith, according to the Bible. And that's the Holy Spirit. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So ask him for that divine nature. You don't want to be a bad witness for Jesus, do you? Right? You don't want to walk in the flesh. That's how you walk in the Spirit. And finally, I repeat this. I am blessing the Lord at all times and continually praising the Lord with my mouth. And I know most of you are saying, I just lied there because I don't feel like I'm continually praising the Lord with my mouth. But the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you find your speech bad, and I guess I should do a sermon someday on cussing, because I get a little tired of hearing Christians, and it seems like it's okay, it's not okay. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're just seeing what's in your heart. So if you got a trashy mouth, something needs cleaned up in here. And it's not just that. But if your heart is filled with him, you're going to be praising him on the workplace. You're going to be praising him with your friends. You're going to be praising him to your neighbors. You're going to be praising him in here. If you can't praise him in here, you're certainly not going to go out there and praise him anywhere else. That's why I love testimonies. I love them. I could live off of them practically. Well, let's go out praising God today. And I don't know, worship team or Daniel or Alex, do you have one more praise song? Do you have one more thing you can sing before we leave here today? Because I want his praise to be in our mouths when we leave this place. Hope I didn't catch you off guard. I'm sure you'll come up with something. And I want us to go out of here praising God. I hope you realize what you released into the atmosphere today. The faith that's imparted to you by his word. It's so important. Stay in his word. Let that word become a part of you. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of how your week is going, regardless of how your life is going, get into his word. And if you were like me, about crashing into the ocean with that old car, going off the highway, he's going to put you back. He's going to make you free. He's going to put you right back on the right path. It's all about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Jesus in Word form. Anybody who's ever come in contact with Him and trusts Him has been changed and is never the same after that. You can do it. You can do it. Wherever you're at, you can get into His Word. You can meditate on it. You can play it in the car on your way to work. Let it get into your heart. It'll make you, he will make you free, church. Everybody stand. We'll sing what Daniel has, and then we'll be dismissed. If you have a prayer need, you know the altar is always open. We'll pray with you. Altar's always open.